All right. Again, you're going to have to help me find my text again. How many of you won a sword drill? Raise your hand. How many won the sword drills? 1, 2, 3, 4. Sharon, you didn't win a sword drill. Okay. So if you won a sword drill, I'd like you to sit out because I only have two more sword drills. And I'd like somebody else to win a sword drill this morning, okay? So we get more people involved, more kids involved. You can still look for the verse, but don't stand up and read it if you already won. 1 Samuel, swords up. 1 Samuel 16, verse 19. 1 Samuel 16, verse 19. Go. First Samuel 16:19. 12 and under can participate. 12 and under. Who's got it? 1 Samuel 16:19. They're looking. Who's got it? Find 1 Samuel, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel. Do you have it, Bethany? You don't have it? Mac, you got it? Okay. Jonathan, you got it for him? You want to read it for him?
1 Samuel 16:18.
Thank you. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, "Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep." Last week, the last thing we learned about David was he is what? Anointed to be the next king of Israel. And the very next thing that we see about David's life is the king who is on the throne now sends for David. David has just been anointed to be the next king. And he's not Saul, King Saul's son. He's somebody else in the kingdom. And we see here that King Saul, suddenly, out of the blue, at least it's out of the blue to Jesse and David and their family, out of the blue, King Saul sends for David. He says, "Jesse, send me David, thy son, which is with the sheep." Uh-oh. What did Saul find out? You have to wonder what was going through David and Jesse's mind when they got that message. What does Saul know about what happened at our house a few weeks ago? Does he know that David has been anointed the next king? Well, Saul doesn't know that, at least not yet. Let's read the whole passage. 1 Samuel 16:14. "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine, and a kid, and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor-bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. So the Lord is tormenting Saul. The Lord has refused Saul as king, and the Lord is sending an evil spirit, a depressing spirit, to come upon Saul once in a while. This king, King Saul, is a guy who would be jolly and happy and perfectly normal, and then all of a sudden he'd be really angry, very furious, very depressed. And there was nothing his servants could do, except they discovered that when music was played, his depression was lifted. So this king, King Saul, is a very scary person to live around. He's got two personalities, and he can flip and change at any second. King Saul is bordering on lunacy, bordering on being a madman. Okay? I don't know that King Saul was mad all the way, but he's bordering on madness, bordering on going mad because of this evil spirit, the severe bouts of depression that King Saul would go through. So David here is recruited into the service of King Saul. Not by his own choice, not by his own doing. Somebody had heard him play and had seen a little bit of his life, and they gave him a good report to the king and said, this guy can play the harp well. If we get David to come play the harp for you, you'll be feeling better when this evil spirit comes upon you. Now, there are two things that would be scary about this situation from David's perspective. Number one, we already talked about it. David had just been anointed the next king of Israel by Samuel. And now King Saul, this moody king who has bouts of depression, sins for David. What in the world does King Saul want with me? I've never seen King Saul. I've never been to his court, but all of a sudden King Saul wants to talk to David? Oh boy, that had to be scary. Is he planning on killing David? Well, we see that King Saul had a good reason. He needed David's harp playing. But the second thing that would be scary for David here, he's kind of like the king's physician, if you will, the doctor of King Saul. Because nobody could help King Saul. When this evil spirit comes upon Saul, he flips into this depressed, angry person, and none of his doctors could do anything about it. So David is being sent for by King Saul to basically be his doctor. Now, in those days, when a doctor failed the king, he usually, you know, got his head chopped off. So what happens if David plays his harp and it doesn't work? His life could be in danger, especially because he's in front of the very depressed and angry king already. That's why he came before the king. The king's angry, the king is depressed. If David's harp playing isn't good enough, then David's life could be taken away. So this is a scary, scary situation for David to be in. Number one, he's the next anointed king. If Saul finds out, I'm a dead man. Number two, if I don't do good every time Saul calls for me and plays my harp, if I don't perform well and make beautiful enough music that the evil spirit goes away, I'm still a dead man. This is a very scary situation. But David went ahead and went. Why did David go? He could have said, King Saul, you know, yeah, I could do this, but I know of a better harp player. I know of somebody who plays the harp better than me. I'm sure he probably did. So why did David go along with it? Why did he go ahead and go? Because, last week we learned something about David. Because David was a man who sought after God's heart, right? And the reason why David went is because David saw an opportunity to serve King Saul, to do some good. David saw an opportunity to do good, and he took it. He did what was right every time. When he saw that there was an opportunity to do good, he would do it. King Saul is David's God-ordained authority. King Saul was put in his office by God. And David is seeing a chance to serve his king. It's a good opportunity. It's what a good man would do. It's what God would want David to do. So, because David wants to do what God wants him to do, David went ahead and went. Even though it was a scary situation, even though his life was threatened, he did what God wanted him to do. Sword drill. Our last sword drill for the day. James, swords up. James chapter 4. And we will remove the rule. Didn't work out too good. James chapter 4, verse 17. James chapter 4, verse 17. Go. Thank you. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. David said, I don't want to sin and not do good. So therefore, I will do good and I will go play for this crazy king. And we kids can take David's example and apply his example to our lives. When we see an opportunity to do good, even if it's a difficult thing, we need to do it. Because elsewise, it's sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. In other words, if you see your brother or sister struggling to do something, struggling to mow the lawn or struggling to clean up their room, and you don't have a job to do right now, your mommy and daddy didn't give you a job to do, and you see your brother or sister struggling to do the job that mommy and daddy gave them to do, and you don't have anything else to do, what should you do? Help him. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's why David went. He knew it was the right thing to do. Real quickly, I want to go over the kind of person that David was before fame came into David's life. This is the pre-famous David. We see in verse 18 of 1 Samuel 16, the kind of person that David was being given a testimony by this person in Saul's court. This person in Saul's court said, "Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning in playing." Number one, he's a good harp player. Number two, he is a mighty valiant man and a man of war. A mighty valiant man and a man of war. Number three, and prudent in matters. Number four, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. What is the kind of person that David was before he became famous? Number one, he was a skillful harp player. Did that just happen overnight, do you think? He woke up one morning and he could play the harp beautifully. Strum that harp, it just happened like that. No. I am sure that David learned to play the harp beautifully because he practiced. And that should teach us, kids, that the abilities and talents that God gives us, He intends us to use them. He intends for you to use the abilities and the talents that He gave to you. He does not want you to let them grow rusty. David didn't let his talent get rusty. He used it. He fine-tuned it, if you will. He made it better. He made it as good as he could. Secondly, David was a mighty, valiant man, it says, and a man of war. We get the idea that David was a little boy. That's not the case. David is not a little boy. David is a grown young man. He is a grown adult. We don't know how old he was. But he was probably about 18 to 22, 24 years old at the most. But about 18 years old at least. Okay, he was a valiant man and a man of war. He was not a little kid. So we need to understand that. And secondly, we need to understand that David has had some basic training with weapons and warfare. His older brothers are in the army. They are professional soldiers. So when his professional soldier brothers come home from the army, what do you think they do with their little brother David? They show him all the tricks they learned. They pull out their sword and they say, "Here, David, you take brother Shama's sword, and I'll sword fight with you and teach you some things I learned. And grab this shield because I'm going to chop off your arm if you don't have that shield." He learned from his big brothers some tricks about sword play and using the weapons of the day. Okay, swords and bows and arrows and shields were not strangers to David. He knew something about them. Maybe he wasn't a professional soldier himself. He was a professional shepherd. But he did know a little bit about how to defend himself. Thirdly, it says that David was prudent in matters. What does the word prudent mean? It means bright and intelligent. Means making wise decisions. David was a guy who was bright and intelligent. He wasn't dumb. He wasn't stupid. And the intelligence that God gave him, he used properly. He was prudent. He acted with wisdom, not foolishly. Lastly, we see that he was comely. And the word comely means he was decent looking, good looking. It doesn't necessarily mean beautiful. It just means he was decent looking, good looking. He was not ugly. That's what the word comely means. So overall, in this verse, we get a general picture of David. David is an average guy. David is an average guy of the day. Most 18, 20-year-old boys knew what a sword was and how to use it in general. Most boys are not ugly. Most boys are bright and intelligent. Most boys have abilities and talents. And most boys in that day and age, their mommy and daddy taught them to use their abilities and talents. David is an average person, just like each one of you. Each one of you are just an average person. Every person here, we're all just average. There's nothing outstanding about us. But David was used mightily by God, an average person. Nothing was overly special about him on the outside that didn't come from practice or training. Just like you and I. There's nothing special about me or about anybody else here that didn't come because we practiced or we trained. And you can do the same thing. The talents that God has given you, you can practice them, practice with them, and train with them. Nothing on the outside of David was overly special, but God saw what was on the inside. There was something special on the inside of David. And we talked about that last week. That something special was he was a man that followed God's heart. And God could use that. The average person. Because he was a person that followed after God's heart, God could use in a mighty way. It is what was inside of David that made the difference. Not the outside. Not what he looked like. Not how big he was. Not how strong he was. Not what he knew or didn't know. But what his heart was like towards God. Thirdly, the last point this morning is, it is what was inside David that made every person that David ever came into contact with, every single person, loved David. Everywhere he went, he met new acquaintances, every person liked David. Nobody didn't like David. Why? Because he was such an average person? No. Not because of anything on the outside. It was what was in David's heart that made every single human being in David's life love David to death. And what was that again? It was David's love for God. David loved God with all of his heart. But there was some more to what was inside of David. David genuinely loved and cared about others. Notice verse 21. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight." Skip over to chapter 18. David says a few words. In fact, I will quote David's answer. David is standing before Saul and Jonathan. And Saul says, "Who's your father?" And David says, "I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." That's all David said to him. Verse 18. And it came to pass, chapter 18. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Because Jonathan saw some things that were in David's heart. Number one, that David loved God with all his heart. Number two, that David genuinely cared about others. David cared about what happens to the other guy more than what happens to me. And we're going to see that throughout David's life. When he's in the caves, he cared about Saul. He cared about his men. He cared about whether the city that they just captured, they just liberated, whether that city was going to give his men into the hand of Saul. He cared about those around him more than he cared about himself. It was this that made every single person in David's life love David to death. And the third thing inside of David that other people could see. Number one, David loved God with all his heart. Number two, David genuinely cared about other people. And number three, the last thing that people could see inside of David. David was devoted to doing right. David was going to do the right thing no matter what. If it meant David lost something, that was okay. David was going to do what was right. If it meant that David might lose his life, that's okay. David was going to do that which was right. This is what was inside of David that people saw and recognized, and everybody in David's life loved him. David loved God with all his heart. David genuinely cared about the guy sitting beside him. Kids, take a look at the person sitting next to you. Do you care about what happens to that person more than you care about what happens to you? David did. David cared more about what happens to the other person than what happens to him. And lastly, David had decided as a young man in the fields, as a shepherd boy, David had decided that he was going to follow God and do that which was right every time to the best of his ability. He was devoted to doing right. Those are the three things inside of David that made the difference in David's life, that other people could see and other people fell in love with. Kids, do you want to be a person like David that affects other people around you? Do you want to be a person that just your walk and your talk makes a person want to know God? The way you live your life, the way you speak your words, just your walk and your talk once will cause others to want to know God. David was such a man. Then kids, you need to learn David's secret. You need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Number two, you need to love your neighbor as yourself. That verse wasn't even written down, I don't think. I didn't look it up. Yes, it was. It was in the law. David learned that verse. David knew that verse. David applied that verse to his life. He loved his neighbor as himself. And if you want to be like David, you need to be devoted to doing that which is right. Make the righteous choice. When you're tempted to lie, "No, mommy, daddy, I didn't break that." You don't lie. You know, "I might get a spanking for breaking this, but lying is much worse." When you're tempted to take your something that doesn't belong to you, "Yeah, I could gain that item, but I would blacken my soul. I'd be a thief." And the consequences of taking what doesn't belong to me is far worse than having that which doesn't belong to me. Be devoted. Choose as a young person that you will be a person who will do right no matter the cost. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. That's the kind of person David was. He loved God. He sought God with all his heart. He genuinely cared about what was going to happen to those around him. And it didn't matter what the consequences were in David's life. He would do right no matter what.